You may be seated. All right, let's move forward in our continuum as we deal with the glorious works that was accomplished in our behalf in eternality. Everyone take your documents, repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. From manifestation in time. Oh my God, if we can get this concept down, then we won't turn on the television set, pick up the newspaper, turn on the radio, the internet, and get our wits scared out of us. We don't walk in terror as others do, that do not comprehend the essence of what God has so graciously provided for us. We are safe and we are secure from all along, no matter what happens, no matter what comes up on that matrix. We're safe. Everybody say we're safe. All right, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Also, let's turn in our section here, in section 5. Y'all pray for me. We're trying to get this done before end of June. Amen. Everyone repeat after me, section 5. Temporal and eternal things compared.
Temporal and eternal things compared.
And let's go to page 121, second paragraph, where it begins looking at. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Well, Deacon, that's going to start, as well as everyone, that's going to start reading from verse 17. And there are some nuggets that we have been dealing with and extracting out of this in Bible study as well, amen, as in perfecting. As we have said to you in Romans chapter 8, Paul is speaking of spiritual things. And then when he makes reference to that which is physical, he does it from the perspective of the eternal view. He's viewing it eternal. And the purpose there is basically to extol, lift up, a place great valuation, or ultimate valuation, I should say, on those things that are spiritual. And as he juxtaposed, as he compares with that which is physical, the idea is to devalue, show the worthlessness of those things that are physically placed in position and time, because they're all going to pass away. All going to pass away. We look around this week at destruction in Japan and say, "Oh, what a waste! What ruin! What devastating destruction!" Well, ultimately, in God's decree, all things in physicality are destroyed. They're already destroyed.
Right.
Already destroyed.
Already.
Amen. So basically, what is up on the matrix and what is in manifestation process or progress-wise is just the sequencing that ultimately and inevitably lead to its state of dissipation. Mm-hmm. It's all going to pass away. When time passes away, what happens to physicality?
Also
passes away. Amen. So it is just part of the sequence plan. Mm-hmm. Brother Deacon, from the King James, and I know we're starting a little late this morning. I'm going to run over a little this morning. I'm going to run over a little this morning. I'm going to run over a little this morning. Romans chapter 8. Just imagine that it's still an hour that hour didn't, you know. All right. Amen. Don't worry, I will not be breaking the record. Verse 17, everyone got Romans chapter 8, verse 17, amen?
Amen.
All right, read. Read down, in fact, just read the whole thing. All the way down, not the entire thing, but read down through 25.
We're reading from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning at verse 17 through verse 25.
Uh-huh.
King James Version. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Now we'll clear that up. Go ahead.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Mm.
For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, mm-hmm. waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Mm-hmm.
For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it.
The church, amen. All right, now we're going to go into the Greek interlinear, and here again, from time to time, we will stop and explain this. Mm-hmm. We use the Greek interlinear. Basically, there's the Greek script, and under it, he has the English per word, supposedly. Amen. Sometimes, many times, I should say, he deviates, but at least he has to put some footnote there to show that he's going off the track, and that which does not give him the leeway that the translations have.
Right.
Sometimes you may have an entire phrase in there, mm-hmm. that there's nothing to underline it.
Right.
And people going around for years saying things that's not in the scriptures. It was in some translation, but it's not in the original script. So this is our purpose that we use, and then we don't stop there. We exegete. We go through the threefold manifestation aspects, I should say, of historical, contextual, and grammatically. That's using, as it deals with our contract, the Greek grammar, because what we want to get at is the actual utterance.
Yes.
What that manuscript actual utterance is.
Yes.
We're not about to stand up here and correctly, accurately, explain something until we get what the utterance, the actualized, the actual correct utterance is. So those that follow us, you will understand the madness to this methodology. All right. With that said, Brother Deacon, let's look at verse 17. There are a couple of things there. As we move through verse 17, there are a couple of things we want to clear up, and then I think in 19 and 21, amen, then we'll move forward. All right, Brother Deacon, very slowly.
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 17. And if children, also heirs, heirs on the one hand, on one hand of God, joint heirs on the other of Christ.
Now notice here, it says, it is ether, and if, but as you look at that and you draw those two together in relation to their construction, it gives the conclusion of sense.
Right.
In the previous verse, we don't have time to go back up in the 16, but he speaks about the Spirit itself giving witness that we are children of God. So now he's saying, so since we're children of God, this is how it flows. Mm-hmm. What goes along with being children of God, then what?
Heirs.
Go ahead.
Heirs on one hand of God, joint heirs on the other of Christ.
Now here we have this, we have this construction here. Basically, it is main and fair. That grammatical construction there, whenever you see that in the Greek, on the one hand, on the other. Now, what basically he's doing is he's saying we're heirs on the one hand of God, because we are not equal to God. But then on the other hand, we are joint heirs of that which belongs to Christ. You have the genitive case there. So that which belongs, on the one hand, you're heirs, and on the other hand, you have that which belongs to Christ. Oh my God. Somebody's talking about a promotion this morning. Waste of time. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He's not talking about anything physical. Not talking about the blessings of Abraham. God has given us more. Can you say more?
More.
Keep reading, Brother Deacon.
Since we suffer with.
Now here, why did he do that? Why is he basically saying that? Actually, that would be translated, if indeed. And all you got to do is look around your life and know we suffer. Is anybody sitting here this morning and say, hey, everything's going, yeah, in relationship to you knowing who you are in Christ, amen, everything is great. But dealing with the entropies that are here, that are challenging and confronting us each day, amen, there's suffering in depraved creation. Amen. So here we have, if we are what?
Since we suffer with him. In order that also.
In order that also what?
We may be glorified.
No. He fell off the wagon here. Here. That Greek word, synthoestomy, is a subjunctive aorist passive. What's subjunctive mood?
Probability.
It's a probability. What's the aorist tense?
Completed.
So you have a completed probability of glorification. And in case you're worried about messing it up, it's in the passive voice. So it's something that is done, was done, to you. So when we go to the end of this chapter, when he speaks of being called and justified, he also, in the same sense, uses the completed aspect of having been glorified. Oh, no, no, no. I look at you, and then, of course, you look at me, you say, what? What you mean by glorified? Amen. No, 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 no. Speaking of who we are in the body of Christ. Who we are in the body of Christ.
Amen.
You were placed in the body of Christ before you ever were encapsulated in these temporary vow to pray bodies. And when this earthly house of this tabernacle having been destroyed, we have what do we have? A building of God. Oh, give him a praise. Hey. I'm going to have to skip around here a little. The time is that clock always beats us up here. Amen. Oh, my God. Let's read verse 18 and then we'll do our comment on 19. Go ahead.
Verse 18 of Romans 8.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon.
Now that word is calculate. Keep going.
For that not worthy
the
sufferings of the now time.
This is not worthy. Do you know this is the suffering of what we're going through now, it's not worthy what?
Being compared with.
Look at the scale, not like this.
With.
Oh my God.
The glory to be revealed. Or heaven.
That doesn't mean too much to men of God's people. Because our lives are entrenched in our homes and our cars and our jobs. And then, of course, somebody's going to come and say, hey, you're saying it's not. No, 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 that's not what we're speaking about. Juxtaposition of comparing. He said it's not to be compared. Can you?
Amen.
I use my body. This old broken down vehicle. I'm going to compare that with what I am in Christ. You've got to be out of your mind. So who are you are? I mean, Paul is speaking about you are not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. He's speaking about the essence of where you actually reside. Remember, nothing actually resides in time. Everything resides where? In eternality. And so in the kingdom of God, this is basically, he's telling them, he said, you know, it doesn't, you know, whether you are a main, or, you know, it'd be better, actually. You know, the essence is, it's a better position in the heavenlies, amen, in Christ. And if the essence of it, to be the non-elect in eternity, and you go through life unscathed, then, hey, You just as healthy as I don't know the new name thing. And by coming along, it was Charles Atlas. Pastor, that was a long time ago. Amen. But basically, you can be as you can be as the of health. Yeah, when that body is already destroyed.
Already,
yeah. Oh. And so what? What else is what resides in eternality? Mm-hmm. And some say when they're reading this, Paul, and we'll get to this when we get into the matrix, as he speaks, and it sounds kind of tough. He said, those married as though they were never married. I said, man, that's bold. That's, that's Paul said, none of that's going to matter. No, hey, I'm sorry. You know, and the preachers are so intimidated, they won't preach that.
No.
Those who have a possession as though they never have possession. That's in our gospel. He said, what is the most prevalent and important thing is that you are a member of the body of Christ. Christ. And if that's what's in this, if that's what's scripted, that's what we're going to preach. You know, you may not fill a house that behaves tough. If it's there, and this is what we convey at our ministers' meetings, if it's there, preach it. You preach what's there. Don't worry about what's popular. You preach what's there. Don't worry about what's resonating. You know, they got this thing. Some people are preaching and teaching, but they're not reaching. Reaching for who and for what? Our contract is speaking to elect members of the body of Christ. We don't know who they are, but amen. The appeal is spiritual, not physical. All right, let's go to verse 9. Oh my God, let's keep going.
Verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
For the anxious watching.
And we dealt with that a little bit yesterday. The anxious watching.
Of the creation.
Mm-hmm.
The revelation of the sons of God is mm-hmm. eagerly expected.
Now, here's what we said last week, and we can't stop here and go through that again. Amen. You can catch it on the tape last week. We deal with that which is worth looking for. That which you anticipate with joy versus that which you dread.
Amen.
When he's speaking of creation in the sense of what is manifested on the matrix, that's what we dread.
Right, right, right.
The uncertainties of what's up on the matrix causes us some trepidation. Because many of the things up there, I speak for myself, they're frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
And many times, there are certain things I would rather go another way. Amen. Huh? But I just designed the matrix.
Right, right, right.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah. But I can say amen to the one who did.
Amen.
Hmm? Oh, my God. Hallelujah. But what we do anticipate with joy of something that you are anxiously waiting is the creation what? Of the revelation
of the sons of God.
That which deals with what is concomitant accomplished the revelation of the body of Christ.
Right.
And that means you're into eternality.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Now, Paul, you're crazy. I got to get my bills paid. You know what? And my heart goes out to those who suffered loss and devastation in Japan. But I guarantee you, they're not worried about no bills this morning. You better hear me. Or some promotion on the job. I can see the world being drawn into that nonsense. But God's people. All right, let's go to verse 20.
Verse 20. For to vanity the creation was subjected.
Who subjected it?
God.
God. So no. Why do things happen? Why did the earthquake happen? And the tsunami followed. And then if that wasn't enough, two of the reactors in the nuclear plants exploded. Now we got radiation in the air. Well, that's their problem. No, it's not. It doesn't take long. That tsunami went all the way across the Pacific to the coast of California. And by the time it got in there, its intensity had waned. But, oh my God. What we have been in our assemblies and churches taught. And what our priority has been,
mm-hmm.
and what our focus has been on,
numbers.
All of that's going to be shaken to the root.
It sure will. Quickly. Mm. Amen. Yes.
And what we think is so important,
mm-hmm.
not going to be as important.
Amen.
Because it never was that important.
Mm-hmm.
God subjected it. Why did he subject it? Not willingly.
Not willingly,
mm-hmm.
but because of the one or the subjecting in hope.
In hope. So, the essence is not what we see, but what he has said. The essence is not physicality. It's spirituality. The essence is not what is in time, but it's what's in eternity. Someone accused me of being stuck in eternity, and I'm just as guilty as I can be this morning.
Hallelujah.
Why put your confidence in something that is unstabilized and passing away? Eternal. Everybody say eternal.
Eternal.
So why? What is God's purpose and reason for all the things that's going down? And you pick up the news, you listen to the news this week. You've got everywhere there's problems. There are problems in the Middle East and problems now in Asia. Basically, were problems all the time, but I'm talking about worldwide problems that draw attention and in this country. And it's coming. It's coming, so we'll pass it on top. It's coming.
Yes. For sure.
Mm-hmm. If God is God, why doesn't he stabilize everything and just make everything just so beautiful? And so that's not the design and purpose of the Matrix. Mm-hmm. Why are people sick? Why somebody, little child or something, some deranged person snatches them and kills them, and everybody just, what? This doesn't make any sense. A young athlete playing basketball, he makes the winning shot, and while they're celebrating, he drops dead. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me and you, but that doesn't mean it doesn't make sense because it doesn't make sense to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense to us. That's all.
Yeah, right.
Everything is about purpose. Everybody said purpose.
Purpose.
Read. Let's see where God is taking this.
Because even itself, the creation,
mm-hmm.
will be free
mm-hmm.
from the slavery of corruption.
From the bondage.
Mm-hmm.
From the slavery. From the depravity. Don't you want to ultimately get away from depravity? No, I know the depraved part of me love and very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But the spiritual
the
spiritual part of me wants out of it.
Amen.
The essence of what is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have the verb Elpharophisomy, which is translated, will be set free. That's the indicative free future. What is the indicative future?
Future fact.
It's a future fact.
Yes.
How you gonna get a future fact? In God's decree. Remember, everything resides in the decree. It's there. It's actualized now.
Oh. Yes.
It's a done deal. What's being released from Tis Dulios, Tis Phthoros? That is the bondage that belongs to the king. The bondage that belongs to corruption. The bondage that belongs to ruin and depravity. It's all temporary. Oh my God. Thank God. And here, the null form of that word that translated will be set free is eleftherion, which is translated freedom. That's the noun. Liberty. You see what we call freedom? That's not freedom.
No.
I got my bills paid off. I'm free. You're not free. Oh, I just got healed of this ailment. I'm free. No, you're not free. Temporarily, you got some type of relief. But only for a moment. Even the one that Jesus healed, Lazarus, where is he today? His body wise. He got sick again and died. But we speak of freedom. We speak of the essence which that is eternal and spiritual. Everlasting. He identifies that freedom. He speaks of it. Thosis ton tekron to theo, which is the glory of the children that belong to God. Which means in the essence of eternality, all things are just beautiful.
Yeah.
I want mine now. Not going to happen. This is the present evil age, and when the church is gone, you have the kingdom age, and you have 1,000 years for God's purpose of showing His power.
Yeah.
Where the devil is placed in chains. And then after 1,000 years, what happens? He's loosed again. Why? Because this age of the essence of time, what? It's got to go. Now I know you're not going to be preaching like this because somebody's going to get bored. I only know how to get my body healed. Let's get the prayer line going. And I'm not making light of that. You have the right to petition God. You absolutely do. But then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the override. He overrides. Because if the healing of your big toe is not decreed in God's word, it ain't happening. And it's then just a few weeks ago we dealt with Paul went to the Lord three times, and basically he said, "My grace is sufficient." He was telling Paul, "Leave that thing alone." Now we petition, we pray. I'll be happy to pray for anyone after service. But for the time that we have, we're going to look beyond that which is physical.
Come on here.
Into the aspect of that which is eternal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's where your hope is.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Brother Deacon, let's go to the next verse. 22, I think it is.
Romans 8, verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
For we know that all the creation grown it together and travails together until now. And not only, but also ourselves, the first fruit of the Spirit, having also.
Now here he's speaking of those that are enlightened, those who have been enlightened. We know it's something better. We know that this is not what it is. Our eggs are not in this basket. And it might be seems like strange teaching and preaching, but I declare that's what he's saying. And this is what the Lord is conveying to our hearts and speaking to our minds and our spirits. Where this world like a loose garment.
That's right.
Don't be so caught up in it until you think that this is it. It is not. Keep reading.
Ourselves in ourselves grown.
Mm-hmm.
Adoption eagerly expecting.
Mm-hmm.
The redemption of the body of us.
Mm-hmm. Now, what body is he talking about? The body of Christ. I heard someone preaching this morning. He's talking about. And we all going to have glorified bodies. And then we'll be in the body of Christ. Doesn't say bodies of the body. It says body, but it also said members, not bodies. We will not have individual bodies. We are members of his body. Sonship constitute being in him. As a my God, shouldn't that be enough? Why do you want to be individualized? I looked at Brother Tim walking through the door. I looked down at his feet, so that's Tim. Where did I look? I recognized the head. And there's only one head to this body.
Right.
Who is that?
Christ.
Ego tripping. We gotta have girlfriend, and you know what more glorious form of creation could there be than being members of his body? And this is why, in the functionality of our local assemblies, this is why the focus is always on Christ. And someone got a problem with me saying, I thank God for so-and-so and doing such-and-such, so forth and so on. So somebody said one time, why didn't he just say, you know, we thank brother so-and-so? Not that I don't appreciate what brother or sister so-and-so have done. But I know that in depravity, if God had overruled it, they wouldn't be doing it. And if they're doing it, if the old folk had it right, and you see me walking right, what? God's using me. What's wrong with God getting the credit?
Yes.
What's wrong with God getting all the credit?
Yes. Hallelujah.
All the glory belongs to him. Not some of it.
That's right.
Now,
yes.
Keep reading.
Verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
For by hope we were saved.
You see that? You see the difference between that and King James? By hope, what?
Anything we are.
Say we are. Well, we are because what?
We were. Thank God. Yes.
Now we've got to define hope. El Peace. What is hope? Read.
But hope being seen is not hope.
Not hope. Now that goes against the convention of what they call conventional wisdom, humanized intellect, or intelligism. But our scripture said we are not looking at the things seen, but what? Unseen. And Paul said, if that thing is seen, there's no hope to it. That's what he's saying.
Amen.
And he's not talking about no visualize.
Oh. Amen.
You know, what you don't see is I see myself with $1 million. Visualize.
Yeah.
Some of the prosperity ministers. That's not what he's saying. He's not speaking of anything physical.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying if it's physical, there's no hope in it. If it's physical, there's no hope in it. This is what he's saying.
Come on with it. Amen.
Read.
For what sees anyone, why also he hopes.
So why are you hoping in the seeing when the seeing is fading away? What are you hoping for? This is what Paul said. Well, I hope it'll last. It's not going to last. Nothing in this life is going to last. Mother Nellis can tell you that all my hair used to be black. Now I defy you to find a black strand. It's gone. And soon this temple will be gone. Oh, if I last even another 20 years, even if someone lives 100 years, it's just a bump in eternity. It's going. In fact, in God's decree, it's gone. Read.
Verse 25. But if what we do not see, we hope, through patience we eagerly expect.
That's the thing that we are eagerly expecting. It's the unseen. The seen is what? Temporary. The unseen is what? Eternal. Should be a no-brainer in juxtaposition. When you compare them. Now let's go to let's go to 121. We're going to run a little over now, I warn you. The only thing I can guarantee is that I won't break nobody's record. Page 121 where it says, looking at. You got that? Looking at or prioritizing the eternal unseen things, as we had conveyed earlier in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it presents a paradox to the spiritually unenlightened. Here the question, the query of looking at things which are not seen is addressed. Physically focused eyes are not capacitated to look at things which will be seen. Decadent futures doesn't mean anything to the unenlightened. That is what is presently secularly unseen. If you can't take it to the bank and deposit it in my account, you can keep it. No. Inner spiritual revelations imbue the ability to internalize the eternal things disclosed in the mystery message of the grace covenant. Everybody say mystery message,
mystery
of the grace covenant. Hence, looking at future things is equivalent to looking at eternal things that are presently actualized in the heavens, in Christ. You know, when Paul speaks of those spiritual blessings in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. In reality, those looking at things which are not seen are not merely visionaries. You're not talking about looking out there in the future at something physically that you're hoping for. No. Conversely, those looking only upon things which are seen, they're not level-headed in the scripture sense. Physicality displays the illusion of what are falsely or partially discerned in secular visionaries. Reliable things, not seen by natural sight, inspirations to God's people in sufferings,
yes,
enduring, and even dying.
Amen.
You reference chapter 11. Those are the things that you can really, really cling to. Because they're everlasting.
Oh, yeah.
They're not waning or dissipating. Follow this. Comparing temporal and eternal things conveyed in 2 Corinthians 14 from a natural point of view deduces that things that can be seen are the things physically viewed, however not spiritually seen. Yet, how can what can't be seen in experiences inspire those that are being persecuted, despised, and forsaken or seriously ill? The definitive mitigating response is that by faith. Listen, this is temporary. It will not last long in the light of comprehending what is permanent. We have a Greek adjective there, proskera, which is rendered temporal. It is in the nominative plural. It is the nominative plural neuter of proskeros, which denotes limited time or transient. Now, the essence of things not seen are opposed to the transient nature of things seen. As the former grasps assurance, their reality of fact that the latter will soon pass from time into eternity. The great scriptures, everybody say the great scriptures. Teach that looking at eternal things by faith engenders eternal choice in Christ before the world began, eternal love in redemption, eternal spirit in regeneration. Eternal life exhibits its exposure of temporal things, that there are decadences, inevitably put off in death. Reversibly, imperishable imbues being alive in Christ in his holy natured immortality. In his assembly is confirmed in Christ, whether by the root called physical death or by the rapture, as such will be manifested in him as a member of his body. This does not exhibit as a metamorphosed body extended in time. No. But an exchange. Everybody say exchange. Exchange spiritual body. First in the commonwealth of Israel, reigning with him in his eternal earthly kingdom, but transcendence to this blessing. Actualized body members in Christ abide eternity beyond time in glorified resurrection and ascension in Christ. Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
What does in Christ engender? Eternalization of what manifestly is an exciting and glorious future. And all loving, having love, here you have, that is the perfect active participle. What is a participle? Verb adjective. So you have some descriptive in the form of a verb, but it's also describing, and it's in the perfect tense. What's the perfect tense?
Yeah,
completed action with what?
Ongoing
effect. So you have the ongoing effects, which speaks of its durability and its perpetuity, the essence of that which continues and never ends. Here we have the phrase from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, epiphania aptu, which is appearing. Those loving his appearing. Actually, the phrase is not as many have taught in mixing the message. And they speak of, some call it the parousia or parousia, and they're talking about that coming. Yes, that's when he comes for them. What we're looking for is the epiphany.
Yeah.
when it comes for us. Don't mix up the parousia with the epiphania.
Amen.
And of course, it's easy to do this if we mix and mingle them. Listen, you must divide this Bible according to the dispensations of covenants. It will confuse you. And so here you have two different events. So the term is agapao epiphania octu, and it is those loving his appearance, speaking to us. It's talking about the rapture. Oh, you mean there are people that are looking for the rapture? That's what we should all be looking for.
Yes, it is. Amen. Yes. Thank God. Yes. Amen.
That is those who have the confidence and comprehension that you are in Christ. Mm-hmm. And there's no way you're going to get out of Christ.
Thank God. Oh, glory.
You know, if you're shaky about salvation, no wonder you don't want to see it, no rapture. You know. You got books being left behind and all of that. I don't want to get into that. So. Crazy. Stay in your gospel. All right. Give me about 7-8 minutes. Amen. God's elect salvation is chronologically intact in the sphere of time on the foundation that it was actualized where? In eternity. We have to take salvation. Listen to me. All the time. And all of the energy of this ministry will be extended, not in fighting the dogmas of denominations. But in certifying what our doctrine, which comes from the grace covenant, conveys is that salvation, as well as everything else, since residence is in eternity. And in doing that, we clear the table of denominational dogmas. Because if salvation is in eternity, then why are we fighting about how it is received, or how it is maintained, or how it is preserved in time? Salvation is not in time. Salvation is in eternity, from the beginning, as well as everything else. Currently viewed salvation is manifested by faith, as is reflected in the believer's consciousness in hope of future redemption. Therefore, hope is manifestly exercised by those possessing salvation through Christ's faithfulness. Everybody say Christ's faithfulness.
Christ.
We were taught that we exercise our faith either by doing whatever our denomination told us to do, and that's the way that was our ticket and entrance into the body of Christ. That's how you get saved. You do what they tell you to do. And they even read from Romans the passage in chapter 5. And they say, we're saved by our faith. You are not saved by your faith. You are saved by Christ's faith.
Oh, yeah.
When you were saved, you wasn't around to exercise no faith. Hope, everybody say hope, is the earnest expectation expressing future blessings as stated. We know that all creation, as he has read, groans with and travails with into the present. And not only ours also, but not only but ours also, those having the first fruit of the Spirit Even we ourselves in ourselves groan, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For in hope we were saved, but hope that is being seen is not hope. For those, for who hopes for that which he sees? Unless he is hallucinating. But what we hope for, but we hope for that which we do not see. That is physically. Through patient endurance, we eagerly wait for it. And that's the quote from what we've just read there in Romans chapter 8. Most specifically, this quote comes from verses 20 through to 25. And wind it up. The Greek phrase, tega epithi esoti, should be translated, for in hope we were saved. Because the Greek verb there, esotia, means rendered saved, it is the aorist passive indicative. Pastor, why are we going through this? Because of the way the translations have this thing stated and placed before us, amen, doesn't give us anything to hang on. It makes it as flexible and fluid as anything else out here. Man, if you don't have confidence in anything else, and if you don't know that you have anything else, and if you don't believe in anything else, and if you don't know that you can call anything else, know that your salvation is secure in Christ. So it is the completed passive factual due to the aorist passive indicative of sozo, which we use as the root word for save or salvation. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about salvation, you're talking about, as the scripture does here, the completed passive. Passive means what? You didn't do it. Salvation was done to you. Factual, what is the fact? That's what it is. Which action was what?
Before time.
We'll start here next week. Before time in signifying we were saved. Not we are saved. Yeah, we are because we were.
We were
never in jeopardy.
Never.
Oh, they're going to come after us. In testimony in time. I was lost and found.
Right.
But in actualized state in eternity, God placed me in the essence of Christ before I was ever placed in these vile bodies for testimony purposes. And so we start here next week, and our salvation. And this is the thing that we and this is where we started, and this is what we focus on. And remember, when we started this ministry for so long, we dealt with the Haitians. And to some people, that's the most boring thing. And most of God's people, dare say, do not understand the foundation of their salvation, the Haitians' justification, what perpetuation, what election, what regeneration. Oh my God, the Haitians. I love the Haitians. You should love the Haitians. That's the one that brought you into the body of Christ.
Yes.
And so, as I live in the world, I know I'm not of the world. I'm in the world from the standpoint of having been placed in these vile bodies. Testimony purpose on the matrix. But I'm not of the world because that's all manifestation. The actualized state is that in eternity, Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he did what?
Chose us
in him when? before the foundation of the world, what being holy at that time, being holy, and what blameless before him, in love, what having predestinated or foreordained us. For what purpose? To his? Huh? Ultimately to his glory. He didn't even save you to, he didn't save you for you. He didn't save you to please you. He saved you to please himself. Now, I can't tell you today and probably tomorrow and ever how it could please God to save me. So I don't get in trouble, I use myself. And how he could save me. When I look at my depravity and the worthlessness and the essence of the flesh and the strugglings and see the valueless one of who I am, amen, I could please God to save me, but I'm so glad. I said, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that he did. Oh, don't you just love him? Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.